Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Tomas at the network. We're live across America and around the world, crntalk.com. Let's see today's guest, Robert Romano, Vice President, Public Policy, Americans for Limited Government. He's got a brand new one out. Going to try to sneak it in along with the other scheduled one. The scheduled one is all about Texas, which did not expand baseline electricity generation capacity in over a decade. Instead, they went to wind and solar. But there is a new one about the Democrats sneaking in an $88 billion multi-employer pension bailout. Yep, they put it in the $1.9 trillion COVID spending bill. Unbelievable. David Rubin, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, is going to be here talking about U.S. tensions heating up as militias target D.C. And then Selwyn Duke's got a whole bunch of good ones, including the problem isn't Kumho, but the Democratic Party and its supporters. All right, let me perhaps be the first to warn you, daylight savings time of this Sunday, all right? And the reason I want you to know this is because you got to set those clocks ahead, and then you won't be late, like if you were going to go somewhere on a Wednesday, St. Patrick's Day, and if you don't have any plans, well, guess what? We, the People Rising, Robin Vitston, informed me that they're going to have a Biden Secure Our Border rally. It's going to be St. Patrick's Day, Wednesday, March 17th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. out here in Apple Valley, California, corner of Bear Valley and Apple Valley, and it's right in front of Walgreens, so you can't miss it. 12109 Apple Valley Road, Apple Valley, California. And don't forget to set those clocks up 1 hour. Spring ahead. Under the title, Four Cops for Every Congressman. But Pelosi wants more. The police defunders have a lot more cops than the taxpayers whose police they want to defund. Daniel Greenfield filed this story. Quote, in Surf City, the Beach Boys sang there were two girls for every boy. But in Swamp City, there are four cops for every congressman. That doesn't refer to Washington, D.C.'s already huge concentration of law enforcement and multiple overlapping police forces. Washington, D.C. has the highest ratio of police to people of any major city in the country. There are 650 officers for every 100,000 residents in D.C., and that's 40% higher than any other major city in America, including Chicago and Baltimore. It has a 58% higher police ratio than New York, more than double that of Boston, and triple that of Los Angeles. But that's nothing compared to the private police force dedicated only to protecting the Congress critters. The Capitol Police, which has been in the spotlight since the Capitol riot, has over 2,000 sworn officers. Pelosi's private police force is the 19th largest police force in America. It's already larger than the police forces of Atlanta, Baltimore, Denver, and Milwaukee. That's Pelosi's, okay? While Democrats advocate defunding the police, their private police force budget shot up from $375 million in 2016 to $460 million in 2020. And now it's demanding even more money. Speaker Nancy Pelosi claimed, quote, it's going to take more money to protect the Capitol in a way that enables people to come here. Come here. Well, first they got to get through the barbed wire fence there, Nancy. How much money is she talking about? Who knows? Colonel Bo Y managed to hold off the Mexican army. You know what? That's actually Colonel Bowie. Yeah, I'm sorry. Managed to hold off the Mexican army at the Alamo for over a week with a few hundred men, but the Capitol Police couldn't keep Congress for an hour with 1,000. Acting Chief Yoga Manda Pittman told Congress that she needed funding for 212 new sworn officers and 111 dignitary protection agencies. All right, Pittman. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a fancy name for the congressional version of the Secret Service agents for high-profile members of Congress. Teams of four of these agents accompany their important charges, Since then, the number of agents has been increased, and there are 6 dignitary agents protecting every single high-profile member of Congress. 6 of them. And this is for one person, right? And it's for every single high-profile member of Congress. Some dignitary protection agents have even been deployed to protect the homes of the high-profile members of Congress. Like during the Capitol riot. Where do you live, Nancy? San Francisco. They're at the Capitol. We got to get more guards at Nancy Pelosi's house in, where? California. Does that make sense? And to do what they want, it would take the Capitol Police up to at least 2,200 sworn officers. And with 535 elected officials in the House and Senate, that's a ratio of 4 cops for every congressman and woman. But remember, the high-profile members are getting private security of 6 cops. Well, why the names of these high-profile members are not available, you know, for security reasons, they likely include senior leadership figures in both parties, as well as high-profile politicians who attract a lot of threats. And that would likely include some members of the Squad and other Democratic proponents of police defunding, or defunding other people's police anyway. While Democrats have advocated for police defunding, their House and Senate majorities currently enjoy some of the densest possible ratio of police for them and their employers. House members had 3,695 staffers, a total of 6,880 nationwide. Senate members had 2,342 staffers, and a total of 4,120 nationwide, working in their D.C. offices for a combined 6,037 people. 6,037 people working for the 515 that were elected. Yeah. That's up from 146 in 1891, 304 in 1943, which is understandable since our government works much better now than we were when we won, you know, World War II. Between members of Congress and their staffers, not to mention kits, cats, sacks, and wives, that's over 6,500 people to be protected by 2,200 sworn officers, or a cop per every 3 employees. Not just elected employees. Even Vatican City, with the highest profile ratio in the world, is more modest than that. The shopkeepers of Kenosha would have appreciated that kind of police ratio during the Black Lives Matter riots that robbed them of their livelihoods while being with the backing of the Democrats. But it stands to reason that the big government elites of the political faction that embrace police defunding not only need their own private police force, but that while the people in the cities whose policies and police forces they want to defund have to make do with only 440 officers per 100,000 people. In Chicago, 320 officers per 100,000 in Detroit, and they enjoy a 1 officer per 3 people ratio. Police defunding means no cops to answer the call in Seattle or Minneapolis, but 4 cops for every Democrat congressman whose life is much more important than those of the mere taxpayers. And some might argue that Republicans also enjoy the benefit of a private police force, but that's not how Speaker Pelosi sees things. According to Pelosi, Republicans are the enemy. Speaker Pelosi insisted on more security for members, when the enemy is within the House of Representatives, a threat that members are concerned about. Who is this enemy within? Quote, we have members of Congress who want to bring guns on the floor and have threatened violence on other members of Congress, Pelosi incited. If members have actually threatened violence against other members, why doesn't she file charges? But Pelosi has admitted that she wants more cops to protect Democratic members of Congress from Republican congressmen. If the enemy is within the House of Representatives, then the only solution is to turn the Capitol Police into a big guard to accompany Democratic police defunders everywhere. And then Republicans can create their own police force to protect them from the Democrats. If America's going to live out in the last era of the Roman Empire, we might as well do it in style. Since history has been canceled on account of racism, Pelosi will really be surprised, I guess, when Chief Yoganda Pittman threatens to replace her unless she ups the Donovitam to the force. Meanwhile, the calls for more money and more personnel for the Capitol Police continue to grow. D.C. is already the most over-policed city in America, and yet somehow no one could manage to cope with one day of riots. The Capitol Police, with 2,000 sworn officers, over 1,000 of whom were on duty, claimed they couldn't cope with a riot and needed the National Guard. The D.C. Police Force, 3,750 sworn officers, the Park Police, which was also on the scene, and the multitude of other law enforcement personnel and services, some of you have heard of, like the FBI, and some which you may have not liked, the Supreme Court Police. Yes, didn't know they existed, right? Supreme Court Police. The D.C. Protective Services Division and the Federal Protection Service. Well, they couldn't help either. Washington, D.C. is the epicenter of law enforcement in the country. There are more law enforcement personnel in the Imperial City than anywhere in the country. And there are more individual agencies, services, and subservices with armed personnel than anyone can count. Nearly every federal agency has its own private police. Some have SWAT teams. These are often attached to the Office of the Inspector General, OIG, departments based out of D.C. 4 years ago, the Obama administration sent a contingent of heavily armed agents wearing body armor on a Department of Defense plan to Chicken, Alaska. Yeah, that's a town of 17 people. Did you know that? This was on a EPA investigation. What was going on? It was a Clean Water Act violation. Dun-da-dun. And it turned up absolutely nothing. Now, if the Democrats could do this to Chicken, Alaska, one of the furthest places in America, they could manage to protect 2 square miles and a handful of buildings with the thousands and thousands and thousands of police officers they have. Four cops for every congressman is more than enough in Swamp City, USA. Daniel Greenfield, excellent. And you know, when you hear all those figures I'm giving you, I mean ridiculous figures, of all these little critters that got elected and they're so worried, you know, you wonder who wipes their behind when they go to the potty. Seriously. And you hear this report, which came out just a couple of days ago, and this report left out a very important figure, listener. There's about 10,000 National Guard police surrounding the Capitol. And Pelosi wants even more protection? My goodness, I think we've found a big chicken living amongst us, so to speak. All right, Robert Romano coming up next.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of two neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Kaanapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Kaanapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN. Want to go to my guest now, Robert Romano, Vice President of Public Policy of Americans for Limited Government. Their website, dailytorch.com. Hey, Robert, how are you, sir?
Very well, thank you. It's great to be on again.
Yeah, hey, glad to have you. You know what? We're going to talk about Texas in just a moment, but you had a brand new one just released today, and I'm telling you, the sneaky Democrats, it is unbelievable. Now, in the $1.9 trillion COVID spending bill, you have a report that just came out today that they snuck in an $88 billion pension bailout. Wow. Boy, I mean, isn't this supposed to be all for COVID?
Yeah, but it's on. They're doing it on the budget, so anything that's spending related, I think, is going to technically be germane. It's under budget reconciliation, so probably not a single Republican voted for the $1.9 trillion COVID spending bill, mostly because I think that they just passed one in December, the so-called Phase 4 legislation that added money for small businesses and critical industries like the airlines. And it did provide some checks, and it did expand unemployment benefits to a certain degree. This is going much, much further, and the other provisions include nearly $600 billion to bail out states, including schools, Medicaid, and transportation.
All right, let me stop you there for a second, Robert. To bail out schools, boy, those teachers and those union people have been working so hard, you know, sweating over the desk. Wait a minute. They haven't been going to school, have they?
No, many of the schools are still closed. My son actually has been home for a year in Northern Virginia.
So why do they throw in all this money
on the computer
for the unions, for the teachers? They haven't been doing anything.
Well, they just got $80 billion in the Phase 4 legislation, supposedly for reopening the schools, and now they're going to get another $130 billion in this package, supposedly for reopening schools. So I guess, you know, maybe they'll spend it on reopening schools, or maybe the kids will be home for another year. We'll find out.
Yeah.
It's up to the states.
It takes $88 billion.
The $88 billion is going to bail out about 120 multi-employer pension plans. The biggest one is the Teamsters Central States Fund. That's about $17 billion underfunded. You see about $36 billion of unfunded liabilities in the top 114 of those funds. And then according to the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, the negative net position was $63.7 billion for multi-employer pensions. And what we've been talking about this for a few years now, which is that when Republicans had the House and the Senate, there was an opportunity to do something with this that probably could have included reforms, for example, ending defined benefit pension plans, which tell you how much you're going to get but don't necessarily fund them properly. Change it to defined contribution so that what you put in and what the growth is, just like everyone else's 401k, that's what you get out of the pension. And they could have made reforms like that. But Republicans punted on this issue when they had the House and the Senate and the White House. And we were warning at the time. It's like, you can do something with this right now. And it's probably going to cost a little money. But when the Democrats get in, they're just going to do a no-strings-attached pension benefit bailout. And that's exactly what they're doing right now. They're just throwing money at it. There aren't going to be any reforms right now. And so we're a little disappointed because we saw that coming, and it was a missed opportunity.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I'm just waiting to see how many billions they're going to throw out into the AFTRA and SAG, you know, the Hollywood crowd there, and take care of them. I want to get to your excellent report you have. Not very much time. Only got about a minute and a half before we have to take a break. But Texas, you say in this report that you did, hasn't expanded baseline electricity generation capacity in a decade. They boosted wind and solar instead. Kind of came up and bit them in the cold rear end, didn't it?
It sure did. And that's in several megawatts worth of biting them in the cold. Since about almost 100 people died while Texas was much of Texas was without power for several days or weeks, depending on where you lived. And it's just, I think it's a tragedy. And the fact that they've been boosting all this wind and solar, but they haven't boosted the thermal capacity. That's nuclear, natural gas, coal, and a little bit of biomass. But that's gone from 66,800 megawatts capacity to 67,113 megawatts. And from 2013 to 2021, they haven't added any thermal capacity at all. But in the meantime, wind's gone from 10,000 megawatt capacity to 25,000, and solar's gone from 73 to almost 4,000 megawatt capacity, and everything stopped working.
And you said that's just a 0.3% increase from 8 years
ago. On the thermal.
Yeah, thermal. Okay. Robert Romano's going to be back. We'll have more on this. The website, it's so hard to remember, Daily Torch. You know, like the lady? Yes, dailytorch.com.
Does your current bathroom need to be updated immediately? Introducing One Day Bath and Shower Remodeling, the complete and hassle-free way to get the new bathroom of your dreams in as little as one day, and for as little as $199 a month. Yes, the experts at One Day Bath and Shower Remodeling will come to you anywhere in the country and show you all the customized options. Now you can have a brand new bathroom in as little as one day. Large or small bathrooms, if you want a new bathtub or shower installed, we can do it in as little as one day. And if you call right now, you can save $750 off your remodel. We make it easy by offering you financing as low as $199 per month. Call now to schedule your free in-home consultation.
855-525-7454. 855-525-7454. That's 855-525-7454.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flair, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef, broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at rootschris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN Chuck Wilder with Robert Romano, Vice President of Public Policy of Americans for Limited Government. And so he says in this report, Robert, 220 wind generator units there, an operational capacity of up from 92 in 2013, 74 solar generator units, federal incentives, you say, come into play, including tax credits for wind and solar electricity production. So you've got all this great stuff, right? And now all of a sudden you got hit by a blizzard. So now you've got frozen turbines, gas pipes. I mean, it goes on and on and on.
Well, I think that's the biggest lesson there is that there's no reason the gas pipes or the coal should have been freezing, or the nuclear, the sensor should have been working as well. Clearly, there's a need to winterize the thermal capacity there. My thinking, though, is that but for the expansion of wind and solar, then you would have had more thermal capacity here. And the thermal is what has to work. In the winter, you don't expect the, the turbine. You know the turbines are going to get frozen if there's an ice storm. You know that the solar panels are going to get covered with snow or with the cloud cover, that you're just going to get less sunlight. And so the thing that you count on, the thing that Texas is counting on, the thing that everyone counts on every single winter is coal, natural gas, for the most part, nuclear, if it's in your area, hydro. There is a lot of hydro in Texas as well. But leaving that aside, these baseline capacity issues, I think, need to be addressed probably by the Texas legislature and the ERCOT, that's their local utility. They just did a big fix on SB 7 in Texas in the early 2000s that dramatically changed the market for electricity. And there's a 20% ownership rule whereby you are not allowed to own more than 20% of electrical capacity as a company or via affiliates in a region. And so my question is that preventing people from expanding thermal capacity. Would there be more? But people are worried about hitting the 20% threshold and then being regulated like a public utility or something like that. It's something that they really need to address. And whatever incentives need to be put into play to keep more of the thermal running so that you don't have a problem with pressure in the pipes or something like that. Supposedly, a lot of the pipes were getting clogged up with ice and things like that. Is that because they only turn them on when the wind is not blowing? That could be a problem. They should be insulated. So, I mean, it sounds like they got a big fixer-upper they got to do down there in Texas.
It sounds like they got to figure out why did all the safety things shut down before it was really that serious, I guess might be the word or way to put it.
Well, on the nuclear, that's the case, but the pipes simply are not insulated the way they are in states that are more accustomed to getting snow. I think they need to fix the pipes.
And, I worked in Texas for a long time, and my father worked for the El Paso Natural Gas Company. Natural gas is really a way to go. It even, they even use it in their trucks, when they used to have to go around and check all the pumping stations before computers took over that job. Let me ask you something. What is this SB7?
That's the law. That's the law that passed in 1999 and that went into effect in the early 2000s that sets in place the 20% ownership rule you're not allowed to own more than 20%. They wanted to have more competition, more abundance. I think, too, you're able to choose which electricity you want to purchase, and so it's a very competitive market down there. But I think in an emergency, that might not be the best approach. And you need to have the capacity running when you need it the most, and it wasn't. And that's the problem because much of it was frozen. You saw basically half of the generators were offline at some point during the storm. They weren't fortunately off all at the same exact moment, but the numbers were quite substantial. You had a 46% megawatt capacity from a drop during the 13 out of the 21 coal generators that were impacted, and then a 28% overall percent reduction in capacity. 58% of the natural gas units were impacted, and an overall 35% reduction in megawatt capacity. 93% of the wind turbines at some point go down. 26% of the nuclear generators. So one of the out of the four nuclear generators went down. And then 74% of the solar generators were impacted as well. So just nothing was prepared for the winter.
Well, let me tell you something. The solar and the wind turbines, you said 93% not working. I imagine Aho Cortez, she was doing cartwheels. Don't show that on the news. My goodness, they're not moving. But knowing her, she probably figured out some way to make them move. She just, I really don't know. I'm wondering.
Well, I mean, it's fine if you want to have wind to kind of offset what you have on place for your baseline. But the baseline has to be there. The fact that they haven't expanded baseline in a decade, I think that is the problem. There was another blackout, not as severe, back in 2011, with much of the same issues coming into play with coal freezing, pipes freezing, that sort of thing. So I think this is a recurring problem that they have down there. They're just not prepared for the winter because they often don't get it. They don't get these big ice storms. It's like once in a decade,
right?
But
maybe
you got to be
10
prepared.
Or 15, maybe once every 15 years, I was working there whenever they had a super big one there, and I don't think it was as bad as the one that they just recently had.
It's the worst one ever.
Yeah, my area was mostly West Texas, and people aren't used to it. They rather than dodging snow, they'd rather dodge rabbits, or something like that. So, I'm going to let you go, and I appreciate both of these reports. Glad we got together today, and I want the listeners to go to, it's such a hard website to remember, Daily Torch, DailyTorch, DailyTorch.com, and I mean, you can't go wrong. And give my best to the president there, Mr. Manning, will you?
Sure will. Have a good day, Chuck. Thank you so much.
You too. Thank you very much. All right. Hey, hopefully going to have David Rubin on here in just a little bit. I'll give you a quick story here, but all over the country, there are businesses, schools, churches, they still won't let them open, right? Yet the Center for Disease Control is bending the rules now to allow migrant shelters at the border to operate at full capacity. And they were talking, some reports I saw this morning, didn't have time to give it out on the news, but it was about the fact that Biden is actually breaking the law, okay, his administration, because this says you can't leave children in the migrant shelters. You know, there's only a certain amount of time. The Centers for Disease Control is allowing shelters handling child migrants who cross into the United States from Mexico to expand to full capacity, abandoning a requirement that they stay near 50% to inhibit the spread of the coronavirus. Yes. And for some reason, my opinion, it seems like this administration has just said, we're going to ignore the coronavirus, you know, when it comes to making sure we're going to get more voters coming in across the border. To heck with coronavirus and go ahead and get on that bus and spread it. And what matters is the fact that the country premier health advisory agency is permitting a change in COVID-19 protocols. The document goes on to recommend detailed ways to prevent the spread of coronavirus in shelters. It encourages operators to continue giving COVID-19 tests to newly arrived children following a 14-day quarantine guideline. And it's kind of interesting that they throw in the word children because, you know, that's the thing that gets to everyone's heart faster than some old man or some old lady, right, or some undetermined sex, I guess. But the children are the least to get COVID-19. You know, they keep pounding it in your head, you know, they're safe. The children are safe. Can't open those schools. Nope. Maybe the teachers aren't. Okay, give the teachers the vaccine. But this thing, this document, they're saying, encourage operators to continue giving COVID-19 tests to the newly arrived children following a 14-day quarantine guideline. And speaking of quarantines, I haven't heard any other news after I read it one time that California's illustrious governor is having an 11-day quarantine for anyone who comes into California because he doesn't want spring breakers coming in. All right, we got him now. David Rubin, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel. Got a story here I want to talk to him about. Iran-U.S. tensions are heating up. Iran-backed militia groups in Iraq posting in a chat network are now claiming to have a resistance cell with the capacity to target American troops inside the United States. All right? And the axis of resistance today is stronger than ever before. Resistance cells are rooted even in America and its capital. And I've got right now David Rubin, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, author of Trump and the Jews. Hey, David. Thank you for coming on, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. Good to be with you, Chuck.
All right. Let me ask you, should Americans be concerned about all this talk that a cell, resistance cell, American troops, United States? And, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind, David, is are they talking about the National Guard surrounding the Capitol?
Well, I don't know who is mixed in with those National Guards troops. I don't trust any of the militias in what they're trying to do. They made it clear. Let's go back a little bit, Chuck. Let's go back to 1979.
Okay.
Okay. For anyone who doesn't understand what's happening with Iran today, and you know, Biden just came out with this announcement. Or at least through the New York Times, there was an announcement that very soon they will be beginning informal talks to resolve the dispute over Iran's nuclear program and the steps necessary to return to the 2015 nuclear deal. That is already happening. And if you want to understand what it all means and what it's all about, just go back to 1979. In Iran, the Iranian Islamic Revolution, The Ayatollah Khomeini, who announced that his intention to export the Islamic Revolution. That is what it's all about. Export means to other countries. Export means throughout the Middle East. Export means to the United States and Europe.
Wow. Expanding. Have these developments been affected by the Biden administration's efforts to engage Iran in negotiations to help the U.S. re-enter the Iran nuclear deal? And, I mean, Dave, it's so much happening. You know, they just released $3 billion in Iranian funds. That came from Biden. The funds were frozen in Iraq, Oman, South Korea. Then the other thing is Biden proposed sending a $200 million check to Iran. Wow. Has he got some good deal going on, or do you think Obama's pulling the strings in the background?
Well, it's not so clear who's pulling the strings. You may have noticed that Kamala Harris has been the one speaking to most of the foreign leaders.
Right.
So, you know, Kamala Harris, you know, who got 1% of the vote in the Democratic primaries, it's not exactly a mandate.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a lot to be concerned about. Look, Biden's team has been sending out very confusing signals. On the one hand, they made it clear that they want back into the deal. On the other, American troops have recently attacked Iranian targets in Syria, which is what we Israelis have been doing for years. However, it's important to understand that the Iranians don't see it as confusing mixed signals. What they see it as is weakness. They say, okay, on one hand, Biden and his people say they want to get back into the nuclear deal, to get the United States back and committed to that nuclear deal, the one that gave billions of dollars in cash to the Iranians in the dark of night to distribute to the terrorist organizations and to use for their nuclear bomb program. They see that. And they see that over-eager desire to get back into the nuclear deal. And they say, hey, the Americans are weak. And what do you think their response was to that request to get back into the nuclear deal? They said, we're not interested. That's what a good negotiator does. A good negotiator has to be pulled kicking and screaming into negotiations. It has to be clear that the other side wants the negotiations more than you. And that was the problem with the original nuclear deal in 2015 when the Iranians announced just a few weeks before the deal was signed that the Americans are desperate for a deal. That's not where you want to be in negotiations.
So Biden's sort of like, look at me, I'm the nice guy, and he wants accolades, I guess, you know, from Iran, and he thinks if Iran says they like me, you know, better than Trump, you know what I'm doing? I mean, I'm really speculating. Of course, it's not those words they would use, but it's sort of the idea, like, make America say, oh, you know, your president is really, really nice. We're going to work with him. Yeah, give us some more money. Oh, thank you very much, yeah. Throwing money
at
him.
And it's not even the... The nice guy who wants to appeal to the Iranians. It's a nice guy that wants to appeal to the left wing of his party, which has become the dominant wing in his party. Biden doesn't really, you know, Biden, if you look at Biden historically, forget, you know, the cognitively impaired Biden that we're seeing these days. Biden, as the U.S. Senator and even as Vice President, he was considered to be a moderate.
Yeah.
Well, he definitely wasn't, you know, the left flank of the Democrat Party. But
okay, hold it right there, David, and we're going to take that break real quick here and continue in just a moment. More from David Rubin. Don't forget, it's ShilohIsraelChildren.org and DavidRubinIsrael.com. If you want to get his book, Trump and the Jews, DavidRubinIsrael.com.
Tired of lockdown? Let the reconnect begin. You belong here. Welcome home to the magic of Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante in Fullerton, California. Check out our new spacious outdoor dining alfresco. Romantic, market lights. It looks like a movie set. Dine under the stars and enjoy our tasty Angelo's and Vinci's pizza, pasta, seafood, chicken, salad dinners, and more. In the cool of the evening, come enjoy our award-winning menu, new wine list, specialty cocktails like our Peach Bellini Martini, appetizers, and more. Angelo's and Vinci's now open every day from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. for relaxing outdoor dining. No reservations needed. Just come on in for delicious Italian food. Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante, 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton. Call 714-879-4022. We're going to need a lot of pasta to get through this year. Come to Angelo's and Vinci's at 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton today.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. That's 800-353-1760.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call myflightsearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder with David Rubin, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, author of the book Trump and the Jews. Let me ask you, you know, do you think every time Biden or the United States gives Iran $1 billion, do you think they holler, death to America, and here's another billion, death to America? Is that how stupid we are?
Unfortunately, yes. It should be so clear. It should be so clear that what the United States is dealing with is an implacable enemy that is trying to bring down the entire Western world. I know that President Trump understood that, and I know that President Biden, you know, seems to have a little bit of an understanding of it, but. But he seems like his hands are tied. It really seems to me. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt based on his past record. But you know, I think that he on a gut level, he understands that rushing back into the nuclear deal is problematic. On the other hand, you know, he's doing it. So. You know, so I could give him the benefit of the doubt, but if he's doing the damage, then you know he's got to take the responsibility for it, and also take responsibility for what comes after.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, David, I ran across a story the day before yesterday, and I said, yeah, when I get David on, if I have time, the headline was after the September 11th, Biden proposed sending a $200 million check to Iran. And it says, like his former boss, Obama, he loves negotiating, trying to bring Iran into a progress of or bringing peace to Afghanistan. And, you know, to offer them money like that is just, I don't know.
Do you call that negotiation?
No.
I mean, that's not negotiation. That is caving in.
Yeah, it's negotiations are like walking over the sidewalk into North Korea, you know?
Exactly.
And not carrying $1 billion with you.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly so. So I think that the bottom line is to understand what Ronald Reagan taught us, one of the greatest presidents in American history, and President Trump, you know, as well. They taught that you're only going to have peace through strength. And that's what we Israelis believe in, peace through strength. You know, for a while, we were going down the wrong path with the whole Oslo peace process and giving land for peace and all that nonsense. That doesn't work, that defies common sense and historical precedent. But we don't do that anymore. For us, it's all peace through strength now. And that's something that we learned also from Reagan, also from Trump. And hopefully Biden might wake up sometime and, you know, come out of the basement and show a little strength.
Well, I think I heard this morning that he's going to go on a little tour, but he's going to have Kamalia doing most of the speaking. And I don't know what's up with that. You just never know. You know, we've just about run out of time.
Rolling in that direction.
Yeah, yeah. Just about run out of time here, David. And if you want to get David's book, Trump and the Jews, go to David Rubin, Rubin, Israel.com, David Rubin, Israel.com. And as always, please check out the Shiloh Israel's Children.org. And that's a fund that David established after he and his 3-year-old son at the time wounded in a terror attack. And it's a great organization. Thank you very much, sir, and look forward to our next visit. All right. David Rubin, Israel.com. We'll be back. CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here. We're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Hey, when next we meet, David A. Bigo, author of The Devil at Our Doorstep, with all the latest union updates, a lot of crazy things going on. Joe Gazzardi, nationally syndicated newspaper columnist, including all of his latest, including Border Failures Grow U.S. Population. Right now, I want to go to Selwyn Duke, who's written for The New American, The Hill, American Conservative, WorldNet Daily. Goes on and on and on. But guess what? He's also contributed to college textbooks published by Gale Sinage Learning, and he appears on many television shows and frequent guests on radio like this one. His website is Selwyn, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke, D-U-K-E, SelwynDuke.com. Hello, Mr. Duke. How are you?
Chuck, I'm doing just fine, and I like that introduction. You know, anytime anyone can spell my name correctly, I'm impressed and very pleased.
Is it the first name or the last name? Because I've really been working on Duke.
Yeah, Duke is the tough one, right?
Because yeah, after all, really.
John Wayne now is politically incorrect. I mean, he's not the big man anymore, right? The Duke.
I'm sorry. Yeah, your phone just cut out there for some reason. I don't know what it was.
Oh, did it? Okay, that's not good. Huh?
Yeah, it's jumping up and down like
that. Let's hope that doesn't happen again.
Look out the window and see if there's birds on your telephone line. Remember when they used to say that telephone line? What's that?
yeah.
Really. Hey, you've got some really good ones. I got to tell you. And prominent conservative activist Milo has come out. All right, and I really like the title. The problem isn't Kumho, but the Democratic Party and its supporters, the race supermarket products, that is unbelievable. And let's see. Oh, and the one that I really hope we get to, Selwyn, if I don't, start running at the mouth, is one that you had March 4th. Ex-medical examiner, the 500,000 COVID deaths number is a lie. Wow. It's your show. Which one you want to go ahead with here with the Milo comes out?
Well, Chuck, you are the boss, so if that takes your fancy, then why don't we go with that?
I have a cat here in this house, and his name is Milo, and weighs about 500 pounds, let's do that one.
Okay, well, many of your listeners may know of the conservative bomb thrower, as many people call him, Milo Yiannopoulos, better known just as Milo. Anyway, he was very, very prominent for a long time. He used to write for Breitbart, but then he had a little problem, a little scandal, so he fell off the radar screen a bit. But anyway, very, very colorful, flashy fellow, and he's always been very well known for his bleached blonde hair, his trolling of leftists, Chuck, his appearing at college talks dressed in drag. He's done that. But most notably, he was known for his unabashed homosexuality. But the thing is, now he can be known for something that can really bring you scorn today, and that's coming out, as he calls it, as, quote, ex-gay, no longer being a homosexual. Now, this doesn't really surprise me at all that this happened, but I'll get into that in a moment. He now describes himself, quote, as sodomy-free, and he's more intensely embracing his Catholic faith, the faith in which he was raised. And he's even leading an online consecration to St. Joseph. Now, this is really a great story because this obviously is what conversion is all about. I mean, this is the kind of thing you talk about when you give testimonials as to the power of the faith. But anyway, his story is interesting because, as I put it in my article, it's sort of like with St. Augustine and his famous prayer, which goes, "Lord, make me chaste, but not yet." Well, Yiannopoulos had said, Chuck, in a 2019 interview that he knew his behavior was wrong, but insofar as rectifying it went, he said, "I'm just not there yet." And he also admitted, "I don't know if I'll ever get there." But now it appears that he is arriving, and he gave a really good interview to LifeSite News where he really flexed his theological muscle. I mean, he very, very much demonstrated the kind of mind he has. And if I may, I'll read to you part of the interview because part of it really is very, very moving. He said, "When I used to kid that I only became gay to torment my mother, I wasn't entirely joking. Of course, I was never wholly at home in the gay lifestyle. Who is? Who could be? And I only leaned heavily into it in public because it drove liberals crazy to see a handsome, charismatic, intelligent gay man riotously celebrating conservative principles. Now, that's not to say I didn't throw myself enthusiastically into degeneracy of all kinds in my private life." Milo Yiannopoulos continued, quote, "I suppose I felt that's all I deserved. I'd love to say it was all an act, and I've been straight this whole time, but even I don't have that kind of commitment to performance art," which is a funny line. Now, you know, it's interesting, Chuck, because I've written a couple of articles in the past that were critical of this man, but I've always liked him, actually. And the reason why I did was that I've probably watched more of his interviews than any other commentator has. And if you watch even his very early interviews from when he was in his earlier mid-20s, you can see that not only did he have a magnificent mind, but he was also very, very intellectually honest, which I really respect, because when people would talk about the homosexual agenda with him, he would say, "Look, I just have a sense that it's wrong," even though he was involved in that lifestyle. And he would say, "No, homosexuals shouldn't be allowed to adopt children." He would say all these things, even while he was in the midst of it. And that's why I'm not really surprised that he eventually came out of that, as he has just done.
And you
because
know what?
I sort of
now that he's had this new awakening, so to speak,
I
guess he's very fortunate that he didn't all of a sudden identify as a woman or a unicorn. You know what I mean? He didn't go and get all that operation and then all of a sudden, you know, find religion.
No, not at all. And the other thing that tipped me off a long time ago that eventually he was going to start walking that very narrow path that we hope leads us to heaven is that he always did trumpet his Catholic faith. He always did defend it. I saw him do that at a college appearance. So it's not like he was one of these hostile people, hostile sexual devolutionaries who was trying to tear down tradition and Christianity. But now he says, I'll read something else from the interview. If it's too much, stop me, feel free.
No,
but this is really very moving. He wrote, and this tells you that his conversion is sincere, because you can't demonstrate this kind of theological depth unless it is. He said, quote, "It feels as though a veil has been lifted in my house, like there's something more real and honest going on than before. It's been a gradual uncovering rather than a dramatic reveal. Maybe that lack of theater or spectacle is a sign the gay impulses truly are receding. The best metaphor I know is that of a flower blooming, of nature's epiphany, an image I know Carol Hauslander was fond of. I think it was Hauslander who said, whatever is loving in man and whatever is lovable in man is Christ in man," unquote. I take this to mean, Milo Yiannopoulos said, that the more love and the less lust there is in us, the more we cease to obscure Christ and instead reveal him, in whose image we are made. I don't mean to suggest it's been easy, just simple. Our Lord endured worse than any of us and promised us that we have to take up a heavy cross each day. Ronald Knox says that the Via Crucis shows us the three ways we can carry our cross: with bitterness, like the unrepentant thief; with grim resignation, like the repentant thief who said it was what he deserved; or with love, like the Lord, who never minimized suffering but said it would, in God's time, redeem us. So those are really very beautiful words, and it's a great thing, and I'm happy for him. And, you know, though, he hasn't lost his hard edge, because he also had some very tough things to say in this interview about the so-called transgender agenda. He actually called it the terror of transsexuals. That's a direct quotation from him.
I like what you were, I don't think you got there yet, about flexing his theological muscle. That sounds pretty good, you know. He's now flexing his theological muscle. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. So anyway, now he had some tough things to say about transgenderism, and he's talked about his future plans, and he says that over the next decade, he would like to try to rehabilitate what the media calls conversion therapy, which has been under attack. And for the listeners who don't know, that's therapy that's designed to help people eliminate unwanted same-sex attraction or feelings of sexual identity confusion. And Yiannopoulos says, quote, about conversion therapy, "It does work, albeit not for everybody." And he also says that he plans to devote himself more completely to combating prenatal infanticide, abortion in other words. And he was also asked about why he's consecrating his life to St. Joseph. And what he said is something that I've discovered in my life, Chuck, and a lot of people have discovered, and that's that secular recovery efforts are either temporary or they're fruitless. He explained that salvation is only found through Christ, this is how he put it, and his church's prescriptions. So anyway, he also talks of something, Chuck, that I call the sin connection. That's my own way of putting it. But he said, quote, "They say if you let one sin in, others will follow. And now I truly know what that means. As I've begun to resist sinful sexual urges, I've found myself drinking less, smoking less, you name it. And as I put it, you know, for sure, I'd say you either seek happiness in the ethereal or in the effluent. And stepping into the latter means sinking further and further away from the ethereal, away from the heavenly." So he also, Yiannopoulos, Chuck, had some very good advice for others in his situation. And when I say that, I don't just mean people who are immersed in homosexuality, but who are immersed in anything that we would call sinful and that they want to rise out of. He said, quote, "Check your pride, not your privilege. So often it's vanity or conceit or self-satisfaction that gets in the way of accepting Christ. Learn to catch it before it takes root, and difficult things suddenly don't seem so difficult." And I concluded with, you know, this is true, and that's why I'll never forget something a wise clergyman once said. He said, "There are two things we need to accept to achieve wisdom. God exists, and you ain't him." And boy, is
God exists and you ain't him. And here I was trying to say, how would I find out if it was my pride, checking my pride, or checking my privilege? And, yeah, you kind of wonder, you know. That's kind of,
yeah.
I don't know, for some reason
well,
it gets me sitting on the, on like a bird up on the, you know, the high line. I'm going to fall either forward or backward one of these days, I guess, yeah. Pride or privilege?
Yeah, well, you know, pride does so much damage, and I know that we've been talking in theological and philosophical terms here, and I hope no one's eyes started glazing over. Oh, my, he's talking about philosophy and theology and religion. Ooh, look at that.
Oh, we're going to really get heavy in religion in a minute here. We're going to talk about the C word. Yeah, so I got about, what? I think we have a, I got a minute before I have to take a break. No problem.
Okay, yeah, I was just going to say this really relates to everything in our world because pride has been called the father of all sin because when you're prideful, you're not willing to see your own errors, so you can't correct any of your problems. And we see this in politics today with the left. I mean, the left is so, Chuck, overcome with pride that it just forges ahead with destructive policies, socialism, the sexual devolutionary agenda, you name it, partially because it cannot say, look, I was wrong. I made a mistake. Let me reverse course. It's very important to have humility. That's why the Bible says, he who humbles himself will be exalted, and he who exalts himself will be humbled.
Yeah. See, and you just figured me out there on checking your pride and not your privilege. See, I knew you were going to square me away there. Man, I should have you on, you know, like at the end of every week, you know, and so that I'd have a good weekend and I wouldn't have to worry about, do I set the clock ahead 1 hour or do I set it back 1 hour? They tell you to spring forward. Last time I did that, I crashed my head.
I don't know that myself.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to take a world-famous break, and then we'll come back with Selwyn Duke. Talk about somebody that's got problems. I don't think he's got much pride. Has a lot of privilege, I think. His name is Kumo. Yes. And Selwyn Duke has got an excellent report on him. All right. SelwynDuke.com. D-U-K-E. That's how you spell that. Be right back.
It's totally normal to be constipated with belly pain, straining, and bloating again and again.
No way.
You could have a chronic condition called irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives to help relieve belly pain and let you have more frequent and complete bowel movements. Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor today. You may be able to save on Linzess and make fewer trips to the pharmacy. See if you're eligible to pay as little as $30 for 90 days. Visit Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy. Some uncle I never knew called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars. And they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-391-8713. 800-391-8713. That's 800-391-8713.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui. where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Kaanapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Kaanapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Kaanapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Kaanapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder with my guest Selwyn Duke, the new American. SelwynDuke.com, SelwynDuke.com. The problem isn't Cuomo, but the Democratic Party and its supporters. But he is edging them on, is he not? All right.
He certainly is, Chuck. And I guess when we go from Milo Yiannopoulos to Andrew Cuomo, we're really transitioning from the intellectually honest to the dishonest and intellectually bereft, aren't we? And talking
yes.
about pridefulness, well, this guy Cuomo really epitomizes it. Well, anyway, I just opened this piece talking about a little history. And, you know, there was that fellow 2,000 years ago named Brutus, Marcus
Junius. Yeah, never
Junius
would come on
Brutus.
The show. I tried and tried and tried to get him, and he would not come on. Yes.
That was in your younger days, right, Chuck?
It was, yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, Brutus is very well known in history for being one of the men who assassinated Julius Caesar, but here's something less well known. One day, he approached Roman statesman Cicero, another famous man, and he confessed his error in supporting Julius Caesar, and he complained that something must be done to rescue the Roman Republic from the leader's designs. And Cicero replied bitterly, and his wise answer was, "Do not blame Caesar. Blame the people of Rome who have so enthusiastically acclaimed and adored him and rejoiced in their loss of freedom." Does that sound familiar? And then he said, "Julius was always an ambitious villain, but he is only one man." And things haven't changed, of course. Human nature does not change, Chuck. And we see the same thing now. You know, we see Andrew Cuomo, who is guilty of killing thousands of people, it appears, in nursing homes with his reckless policies. And now we hear that he was also guilty of killing people in homes for the disabled. I mean, just unbelievable. I believe that he's guilty of criminal negligence and should
yeah.
be in prison. But anyway,
put the women second,
now,
you know, and get to the biggest, the number one problem, right?
Right, right. I mean, now we also hear about these sexual indiscretions of
yeah.
his, but quite frankly, they pale in comparison to murdering people or at least being guilty of negligent manslaughter with respect mm-hmm. to what we just spoke about. But anyway, a lot of people have pointed out, really, that this is not a Cuomo problem. This is actually a Democratic Party problem. A couple of publications, at least recently, have pointed that out. And it's absolutely true. It's just like what Cicero said. You know, it's not Cuomo. It's not the fool leading the Confederacy. It's the Confederacy of fools. That's the problem. And the proof is in the pudding. And this is my state, New York, that I'm talking about here.
Yeah.
But a poll shows that a majority of New Yorkers, Chuck, do not want Cuomo to resign. Okay, in fact, 55% said he should not resign. And most all Democrats, or a vast majority, are with him because only 21% of Democrats in New York are saying that he should resign. So a lot of people might find that shocking, but as I pointed out in my piece, is it really surprising? I mean, if you think about it, what is the New York Democrat electorate support? Well, it's fine with leadership that approves of prenatal infanticide up to birth.
Right.
It's fine with every sexual devolutionary innovation imaginable. And even after telling children, Chuck, they can be the opposite sex, allowing boys who claim girlhood to use girls' locker rooms. So, I mean, are they really going to be put off by what Cuomo is accused of? And then you add to that the fact that the media, mainstream media, are lying 24/7, 365. And you have to say, well, what do the people even know? That's why ignorance reigns out there.
But
hey, and by the way, let me tell the listeners that you also mentioned, you know, talking about a Democratic problem. And you know, Selwyn points it out, and I mean, it'll make your little light bulb go off. Groping Joe type indiscretions, you know, Joe Biden, you know, with Cuomo, you know, touching the women. Look at Joe, and he starts at, you know, 5-year-olds, I think, or maybe less.
Right. Well, he's actually also accused of forcibly having accosted a woman. I'm not going to provide details because they're a little untoward. So the sexual misconduct allegations against Biden are a lot worse than those against Cuomo. What's the difference, though? Why is the left throwing Cuomo under the bus, whereas they protected Biden? Well, it's very simple. In Biden's case, they needed him, because if they had taken him down when he was accused of sexual misconduct, that could have helped the Republicans. That could have led, perhaps, to Donald Trump being reelected.
Ooh,
but when you have
hold it right there on that thought, yeah. Donald Trump being reelected.
What a shock, huh?
Yeah, time for a break, I think, here. Yes. There it is, you see? See how good I am there, Selwyn? It's just like ESP. It just comes to me, right?
You're a consummate pro. Yeah. A consummate
and beware if Biden ever gets in a wheelchair, because I'm sure he's going to be charged with hit and run eventually, somehow. Yes. Okay. Hey, we've got more on this one about the problem isn't Cuomo, but the Democratic Party and its supporters. We'll be back. More coming from Selwyn Duke from The New American.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit ka'anapaliresort.com. That's K-A-A-N-A-P-A-L-I-Resort.com.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Hill Street Cafe Burbank would like to thank all of you for your continued support. During these difficult times, Hill Street Cafe is remaining open for takeout and delivery service from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. They'll be offering a modified menu to keep prices down and maintain the best quality. The safety of their customers and employees is their top priority, and they're abiding by all CDC and Health Department regulations. Order via the Hill Street Cafe Chow Now app or on their website, Hill Street Cafe. online.com. You have the option of a curbside pickup. We will bring the food out to your car. You're also able to order for delivery or pickup via the normal food delivery apps like Grubhub, Postmates, Uber Eats, and DoorDash. Hill Street Cafe is here to serve you. Call them at 818-845-0046 or come by to pick up at 3301 North Glen Oaks Boulevard in Burbank, California. Hill Street Cafe, Burbank. Pickup and delivery services are available at 818-845-0046. 866 or visit them at PillstreetCafeOnline.com.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with Selwyn Duke, the new American, discussing the problem isn't Kumho, but the Democratic Party and its supporters. And let me give you a heads up, listener, right after this one, wait until you hear the title of this next one we're going to talk about. The race supermarket products are now being labeled with the race of their producers. Wow. If there's not enough going on, Kumho. Let's get back into this one there, Selwyn.
Yeah, I was just talking about why Cuomo is being treated a lot more harshly than Joe Biden, even though the sexual misconduct accusations against Biden are a lot more severe. And I was just pointing out that taking down Biden could have gotten Donald Trump reelected. However, with Cuomo, what is he the head of? Basically, what is a one-party state? And in a one-party state, politicians don't stop vying for power. It's just that they vie for power within their party. So what you have here are Democrats fighting with each other. There are Democrats here who want his power, his position, no doubt. And also, we understand that Cuomo is a very mean guy behind the scenes, making threatening phone calls to state Democrats. And you know what they say, Chuck? Be nice to people on the way up, because you're going to have to meet the same people on the way down. And obviously, Il Duce in Albany here, he didn't abide by that good piece of advice. And so now he finds himself in a bit of trouble. But I want to get into something a little deeper here. You know, we were talking about how he's still supported by a vast majority. Apparently about 79% of New York Democrats are in that neighborhood. So what explains this? Well, part of it is that people are too ignorant, many of them, because they're getting information from the mainstream media.
Right.
Part of it is just prejudice. It's the old thing from Animal Farm. I'm sorry, you know, four legs good, two legs bad, that whole thing. They're going to vote for someone who is a D after his name no matter what. But we also have to say what it comes down to is a lack of virtue in the people. Now, I've discussed virtue a lot on your program. It's something I emphasize for the same reason the Founding Fathers emphasized it, Chuck, because it's so important. As they pointed out, you cannot have a healthy, well-functioning republic unless there is virtue in the people. And I would like to share here a little insight I had when I was a very young man, in my early 20s perhaps, because back then, I put it in a very simple way. I hadn't fully developed my ideas yet, but the insight is as true today, of course, as it was then. I realized that people embrace liberalism in order to justify their own irresponsible lifestyles. That was how I put it back then. Now, as I got older, I learned to explain this a little more in depth. But the point is this. To put it simply, people who have an affinity for vice, Chuck, will tend to gravitate toward organizations and ideologies advocating expressions of vice. And you don't have to take my word for it. For instance, just look at a very interesting old article by commentator Peter Schweitzer. It's from 2008. It's titled, "Don't Listen to the Liberals. Right-wingers really are nicer people, latest research shows." And in this article, Chuck, he cites numerous studies revealing that leftists really do have a serious morality problem. Okay, now, here's the whole thing. I often write that if morality came in a jar, because I like to define things logically for people, on the ingredients label would be the virtues, okay? And a comprehensive list would be, let's say, chastity, courage, diligence, charity, hope, faith, love, kindness, honesty, justice, temperance, prudence, patience, forgiveness, and humility. Okay, Now that you know that, if you can accept that, then you have a yardstick for measuring the morality of anything, including political parties and their adherents. Now ask yourself, to what degree do leftists espouse ideas and exhibit behaviors that reflect these virtues, these elements of morality? To what extent do the Democrats' policies reflect them? And also ask yourself, do the various parties' platforms not reflect them to varying degrees? Now, my point is here that not all parties are morally equal. Some may say now, well, wait a second, come on. You can't define people just based on politics. But what you have to realize, Chuck, is that politics isn't just politics. And it's not just that politics is downstream from culture, as Andrew Breitbart said. It's that culture itself is downstream from philosophy and spirituality. And what I mean is an evil worldview usually translates into cultural affinities and politics correspondingly evil. And by the way, this is why statistically, and I've written about this too, one of the best predictors of voting patterns is church attendance. People who attend church regularly, I don't just mean Easter and Christmas, but regularly, vote overwhelmingly Republican. People who tend to be atheistic vote overwhelmingly Democrat. And I say that not out of prejudice. I used to be a man who was an agnostic myself, okay? So I understand where they're coming from, just giving you the facts. But to put it in further perspective, okay? If someone told you, let's say, that vice-ridden people, Chuck, in 1917 Russia or 1933 Germany were more likely to embrace Marxism in Russia or Nazism in Germany, would you be shocked? Okay, well, now what about today? Have vice-ridden people ceased to exist? No, they haven't. And have they stopped gravitating toward dark causes and joining in sinister solidarity? Sinister solidarity. Okay, no, of course they haven't. And the point is that every time and place, Chuck, has its evil ideologies, its evil philosophies, its poor religions and organizations and parties, okay? And our only job is to learn what the yardstick for measuring goodness is so we can identify these things and beware. And what is that yardstick for measuring goodness? Again, it is virtue, which is defined as that set of good moral habits. Once you understand that, once you understand what the virtues are, all of this ceases to be complicated. You will know how to measure things. You will know what you need to cultivate in yourself to become a better person. And we all should try to become better each and every day. You will know what to try to inculcate your children with to make them develop into better people. And you will know how to judge political parties. You look at them. You say, to what degree do they exhibit the virtues? Okay, you look at the Democrats and you ask yourself that question, and then you tell me all political parties were created equal. You tell me that the Democrats don't really have a severe morality problem. They do. And I'm not letting our culture in general, our nation in general, off the hook. We are suffering moral decay, okay? But that moral decay is more egregious in certain quarters. Make no mistake about it.
Wow. Fantastic. Unbelievable, Selwyn. And I got to tell you, listener, this next one, it doesn't surprise you that it's come to this, but my goodness, you know, can you imagine people rolling over in their graves saying, what in the world is going on up there now? My goodness. This one that Selwyn wrote is entitled The Race Race. Supermarket products are now being labeled with the race of their producers. Selwyn says, giving new meaning to the term discriminating shopper. I like that. Why in the world? Well, I'll let you do it. Go ahead, Selwyn.
Yeah, I know. I mean, think this is being made up, but it really is true. We actually have pictures of supermarket shelves where it's indicated the race of the producers of various products. And it's unbelievable. I mean, this, for instance, the image that I have in my article is from a giant supermarket in the Washington, D.C. area, and you can see some products, and under them it says black-owned. Then under that you see some Goya products, and that says Hispanic-owned. Now, by the way, I just want to say I love Goya. I think their chickpeas are phenomenal. No, they're not paying me to say this, but I do want to point it out because the head of Goya is an ardent Trump supporter, and he seems like a very good man. So I'm not looking to stigmatize Goya. And Goya has nothing to do with this policy. This is the policy of the supermarket chain's owners, which would be Giant Food of Maryland, which is a subsidiary of some European retailing colossus. But anyway, here's what they say, okay? Giant Food, this is the trade publication, Supermarket News, saying this: Giant Food is rolling out updated shelf labels that enable shoppers to identify products from minority-owned businesses. Plans call for all Giant supermarkets to post the new shelf labels starting in January, so it's already begun. The Landover, Maryland-based regional grocer said yesterday, they wrote this December 22nd, the labels will inform customers about items from companies that are women, black, Asian, Indian, Hispanic, LGBT, Asian Pacific, or veteran-owned. The paper continues. More than 3,100 food and non-food products will feature the updated shelf labels across Giant's 164 stores in Virginia, Maryland, Delaware, and the District of Columbia. The retailer said the items come from 281 minority-owned businesses in its network of vendor partners. So, you know, it really is unbelievable.
You know, when I read when I got through the very first page, Sal, and I'm thinking, let me go back to what you just said. Items come from 281 minority-owned businesses, right? And I'm thinking, I wonder if they just say, we just get rid of, you know, checking to see if the product is healthy or good enough to sell or not breaking laws. It's just, you know, as long as you're a minority-owned business, we can put it up there. That's what it almost sounds like, you know. It's not the quality.
Absolutely.
It's just who put it together. Yeah.
Right. Well, obviously, and it's got a very interesting historical precedent because, as you know, in Nazi Germany, they did the same thing with Jewish-owned businesses. They started labeling them. So, you know, it's funny the footsteps that all these leftists are following in. And it's also amazing to me.
Yeah. The Jews all had to put on a face mask, right, to identify as a Jew. Oh, no, that's that's another place. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, that's another place. Absolutely. But it's just amazing how quickly the leftists have turned almost on a dime. I mean, they used to at least superficially emphasize equality, even if it was equality of outcome. Now they've transitioned from that to emphasizing what they call equity, which, of course, is just a Trojan horse for discrimination. That's how they justify their racial discrimination. And this company, Giant Foods, is trying to justify what it's doing. You know, one writer from American Thinker actually wrote to them about this and got a response. I'm not going to read the whole response, but it was your typical corporate nonsense where they said, well, we're trying to be inclusive and serve all our customers, blah, blah, blah. Thank you for taking the time to contact Giant Food. And, you know, as I said, the translation of this is some of our customers want to racially discriminate, so we're going to help them do that. So, anyway,
let me throw in something here real quick. Yeah. You know, my stupidity, of course, always jumps in, takes over. When I read this, you know, Giant Food, blah, 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 did this, and they're coming from all the different identities and all the different people, and Giant Food, and I'm thinking, remember when you had the word midget, and then you had to change it to small people, right?
Yeah,
I wonder if the small people should make Giant Food get rid of their name. Can't they protest?
Absolutely.
You got to have the little
I mean,
people.
Also,
little people food.
Gigantism actually is a disorder, acromegaly. That's what Andre the Giant suffered from, right? So there you go.
Acromegaly.
You view that as being insensitive. Yeah, acromegaly, absolutely. Absolutely. If I had that, I'd be in trouble, but at least I could maybe step on people like Nancy Pelosi and Andrew Cuomo.
She's got a big police force. You got to watch out. Yeah.
True, even bigger than Andre the Giant.
Yes.
But, you know, obviously Giant, the supermarket chain, thinks it's responding to a market imperative, and it has a legal right to do so.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I point out in my piece, what we should remember is that all these corporations, you can forget about their value signaling, they care about profit first and foremost. So if there is a policy that will increase their profit, they are going to embrace it regardless of its moral stature. And that's why corporations during World War II broke bread with the Nazis. And that's why corporations today pander to communist, or I really should call it fascist China. But, you know, it really, really is unbelievable. And you know what it reminds me of, Chuck? It reminds me of this deeper issue. Why is this happening? This corporation would not be embracing this if it were not socially acceptable, or at least if the corporation did not perceive it as such.
Yeah, yeah.
So I view it as sort of like the legalization of marijuana debate. You know, a lot of people argue about that, but I always point out, well, wherever you stand on that, the deeper issue is that marijuana is being socially accepted. And as long as that continues, eventually it's going to be legal everywhere. And this is the same thing. We have this issue now where racial discrimination, in pseudo-elite circles at least, is becoming more and more acceptable. Now, the question, though, is, you know, is it going to be acceptable among rank-and-file people? Now, maybe it is. Maybe it has achieved enough acceptance among them, at least in these liberal states. That remains to be seen. But it's a very, very dangerous game because immigration, our immigrationists, as I call them, are making our country more diverse all the time with very destructive immigration policies. 85 to 90% of our immigrants have come from the third world since 1968. But at the same time as they're doing this, they're encouraging tribalism. And tribalism is something that throughout history has cost millions and millions of lives by way of warfare between groups. So this is a very, very dangerous game to play. And this is why, by the way, Chuck, wise countries, wise civilizations always try to play down these racial and ethnic differences. You know, first of all, wise countries often discourage immigration that would lead to balkanization. Hungary is a good example of that. I mean, it has very strict immigration policies, and Viktor Orban, its leader, has said straight out, we do not want to mix. I mean, talk about saying something politically incorrect, right?
Yeah.
But
so,
certainly,
so when we're on that break time right now, okay? You want to hold that thought? And
yeah.
You're on a roll, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, and you know, and I was thinking, okay, you know, it's like discrimination, actually, you know, products made by black, Asian, Indian, Hispanic, LGBT, blah, blah, blah. But there's one that's made by veteran-owned, and that could be any shape, form, or whatever. That's probably the only real one, you know, that that you should support. But it's up to you, of course. Selwyn Duke will be right back.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance, or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
Does your current bathroom need to be updated immediately? Introducing One Day Bath and Shower Remodeling, the complete and hassle-free way to get the new bathroom of your dreams in as little as 1 day. And for as little as $199 a month. Yes, the experts at One Day Bath and Shower Remodeling will come to you anywhere in the country and show you all the customized options. Now you can have a brand new bathroom in as little as 1 day. Large or small bathrooms, if you want a new bathtub or shower installed, we can do it in as little as 1 day. And if you call right now, you can save $750 off your remodel. We make it easy by offering you financing
as low as $199 per month. Call now to schedule your free in-home consultation.
855-525-7454. 855-525-7454. That's 855-525-7454.
When you really want Italian food, you have got to get to Columbo's. Columbo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club, Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Well, buckaroos and buckarees, Columbo's has seen to it that you can enjoy and luxuriate in all the splendor that is Columbo's and in the comfort of your own home. Yes, just call 323-254-9138 and say you are commissioning them to prepare the finest steaks, the freshest fish offerings, Columbo's family Italian specialties, including the world's greatest meatballs with the greatest of dispatch. Then, motor on over to Columbo's for your gustatorial treasures. In these times of trials and turmoil, it's the least you can do to bring about some joy and yum-yum to your loved ones. Yes, Columbo's, of course. That little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Columbo's.
Mangia bene.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder with my guest, Selwyn Duke, the new American, talking about the race. Supermarket products are now being labeled with the race of their producers. All right. Go ahead, Selwyn. We got two or three minutes here to go and probably get through with this one, unless you need to answer that phone.
No, sorry about that. Anyway, Chuck, you're much more important than that call, whatever it happens to be.
All right.
But, yeah, we were talking about this and how destructive this is to national unity. And I was pointing out that sane nations do not do this. They do not emphasize multiculturalism and racial and ethnic differences. They do not stoke the fires, those burning, destructive fires of tribalism. For instance, you take Mexico. Mexico is not homogeneous. In fact, the ruling class happens to be white. They're generally of Spanish descent. And whites there are only 3% of the country. Nonetheless, Mexico stresses everyone is just Mexico, the Mexican. That's it. Everyone is Mexican. They don't try to emphasize differences. And, you know, the same thing is true in Greece, I understand, that they have minorities there and that sometimes they even don't want to talk about those minorities because they want to portray themselves as one unified country. And even Italian fascist dictator Benito Mussolini, listen to this, he grasped Balkanization's perils. And that's why he actually said, this will shock the liberals, quote, "National unity has no need of the delirium of race." He was not interested in being racially oriented, and for a good reason. And you know what? He was the leader of Italy. If he knew history at all, he understood what happened in Italy 2,000 years before because of Balkanization. The Roman Empire dissolved because of it. When it could no longer keep all of those disparate groups together via the iron fist of tyranny, the empire dissolved. The same thing happened with the Soviet Union. The same thing happened with Yugoslavia. As I put it, once they became too weak to handle their strengthening diversity, Chuck, they got strengthened right into the dustbin of history. And I want to tell people on the left and elsewhere, just know this historical record is supposed to be a cautionary tale, not an instruction manual, okay?
Yeah. Could you imagine if auto dealers, I mean, you could just go down the list almost, you know, decided we're going to tell you who built the battery and who built the tires. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and you wonder, I guess normally it's, you know, a box of cereal. You know, it's probably one subject, I guess, you know, that's putting it all together. But, wow, when you start getting where a whole bunch of different nationalities are working on one product, you know, that's what I'm trying to say. I don't think their plan would work too good. You'd say, my God, you know, I was going to buy this bar of soap, but it comes in three boxes that tell you who put it together. You know?
Yeah. Well, that's true. Where did the constituent ingredients come from, right?
Yeah,
after
absolutely.
All, okay, so this company is black-owned, but it has to buy certain ingredients maybe from other companies. So we've got to dig into that too, right? Let's sift this to the very bottom. Maybe we could have a racial production score or something like that, you know, 0 to 100 or something.
Well, there's our theme music, Mr. Duke. And I want to thank you again, Selwyn Duke, S-E-L-W-Y-N.
Thank you,
Duke. SelwynDuke.com. And by the way, go to his site. Be sure to read Ex-Medical Examiner. The 500,000 COVID death number is a lie. I'm going to put this aside and maybe use it instead of doing some news, Selwyn. That is awesome. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Tomas. Thank you for listening. And God bless the United States of America.